And Jesus said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. There is much we can learn in our Christian walk if we pay close attention to this historical account of the healing of the 10 lepers. And in the first place, we might notice how when Jesus says, go to the priest and the 10 lepers after they've cried out to Jesus to have mercy, when they go to the priest, that's when they are healed. And so we see right away that when they're obedient to the word of Christ, that's when the blessing comes. So we can internalize that. We can see that as a spiritual principle. When I obey the words of Christ, then the blessing will come. That's woven into the scriptures for our edification, our enlightenment, for our practice of the faith. While obey the words of Christ, the blessing will come. And then we see that there is one who turns back around. They go to see the priests, 10 are cleansed. They must have had a marvelous reckoning when that started happening. If they'd been watching, you know, their bodies fall apart for so long in such a painful way, and now they're being restored. What a beautiful moment. And one of them, instead of racing off to the priest to be certified that he might be out of quarantine and exiled back to his family, he turns around to give thanks. It's remarkable that he's a Samaritan. Jesus is not afraid of Samaria. He's going through Samaria. And not like some of the devout Jews who had no dealings with the Samaritans who took the long way, but Jesus, coming through Samaria because he's going to heal them too, brings healing to the Samaritan man, and he shows the way to give thanks. He falls down at his feet and gives him thanks. He shows the correct bodily posture for how we give thanks. That's why in our liturgical practice we kneel and give God humble thanks. So he falls at his feet, gives him thanks, he worships him. And notice that Jesus doesn't say, stand up, because I'm just a man. He accepts the worship. The disciples at points would say that. If people worship them mistakenly, they'd be, no, I'm not God. You know, stand up, I'm just a man. But Jesus accepts the worship because he is God made man and rightfully can receive that and rightfully receives that worship. And then he says, arise, he lifts him up, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. The other 9 went to the priest. This man comes to the great high priest. He's certified, now he goes home whole. And what do we see by this? When Jesus says, but there were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Now we might think, okay, what about that? Are we grateful like the one that was healed? Or are we missing something in our Christian walk? For all of us have been healed in our Christian profession, delivered from sin and the consequence of death, into the new life and the hope of everlasting life. We have been washed of the leprosy of sin, and now ours is a life of giving thanks to God and showing forth our gratitude by doing good works. So now is a life of thankfulness, of gratitude toward God. Now notice in the Epistle to the Romans, St. Paul will speak about the attitude of ingratitude as typifying those who are godless. And so listen to these words. He would say that nobody has excuse if they look around them at the creation and the fact of their own existence. They would realize that they have something to be grateful for, but they are ungrateful. For the wrath of God, this is chapter 1, verse 18 in the Epistle of Paul to the Romans. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men, who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. So what typifies the ungodly? They are ungrateful. They have a heart of ingratitude. And if you look at that catalog of sins in the epistle, what are the works of darkness? There are these, and I think he lists about 14 or 15 characteristic marks of those that are ungrateful toward God, of those who are ungodly, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, witchcraft, idolatries, on and on the list goes. It's pretty easy to see. But if you look at each one of those ways that manifestly shows somebody is wicked, at the root of it is ingratitude. Because to sin against God, to go against Him, is the height of ingratitude. It's not showing any kind of thanks at all. And so let us learn how to turn, that we may, like the one who was healed, turn toward God, worship and adore Him, and live a life of thankfulness. And in our own tradition, we have a very powerful way that we can be formed with this heart of gratitude. Anglican spirituality is centered upon the Book of Common Prayer. It is our handbook for how to live as a Christian. And so we see in it there is a very ordered way. You'll see every week starts with the observance of the Lord's Supper. And there are collects and epistles and gospels appointed for each of the Sundays. So I believe it's Martin Thornton who said this creates a fence. And these are the fence posts. Each Sunday, bonk, there's the major post of the life of gratitude. What are we doing here in Holy Communion? We call it the Eucharist, which in the Greek means thanksgiving. So we're all here to give thanks to God. We're here to give a sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving and render up all of our gratitude to God for all the blessings that we have received. So this shows us how to live a grateful life. Every Sunday, every first day of the week, we're starting out with an action, corporate action of gratitude to God, remembering that it is indeed meet and right to give God thanks in all times and in all places. We're reminding ourselves, oh yeah, my life is one of gratitude for everything. And so we do that together on bended knee. Thank you, God. And then the daily office. So if you look at morning prayer, evening prayer, this is to be said daily, and it's common prayer, which means it's for all. The Reformers in the Anglican way assumed that the church would be a praying church and would enter in the great stream of prayer, not just for priests and monastics, but no, everybody prays in the body of Christ. And so now the daily prayers are like little posts in between the big fence posts, little posts. And that is the morning prayer, evening prayer, morning prayer, evening prayer, waking up and praying, thank you, God. And you'll see in the morning prayer, there are set prayers that give grace, that give gratitude to God. And there is the general thanksgiving, a beautiful prayer, where we give God thanks for our creation, preservation, all the blessings of this life, and for the means of grace and for the hope of glory. We're giving Him thanks. We do that, we learn that day after day, morning, evening, and other set thanksgiving prayers that we might weave in. So this becomes then the structure of that fence. And then the third plank of Anglican spirituality, so Holy Communion, daily office, and then personal prayers. So this is where we say our own prayers. It's called colloquy is the technical term, colloquy. Our own personal prayers to God of thanksgiving. So what is our practice? Do we sit down and just start eating, or do we give thanks to God first? Do we have a good table prayer? There are some good examples in the back of the Book of Common Prayer. We might begin to thank God at other times. Thank you, God, for my socks, my shoes, when we're getting dressed. We might thank God for the fact that we are going to drive now. We have a car to drive. Thank you, especially thank you, God, for safe travel. All these things are woven into, we might see that as the colloquy or the personal prayers woven between those fence posts of the daily office and the Mass weekly. And that creates a hedge where the enemy doesn't approach. It's a safe ground now. This is the hedged life. This is the prayer life. Because we know that the one who is spiritually minded doesn't sin, right? Their body now is under the dominion of the Spirit. So we fill our hearts with gratitude and are mindful of God. And then we don't turn toward those things that speak of ingratitude and of offense toward God. So it is a disciplined way to come into the, live out the holy life. And what does it speak of? A life of gratitude, of thanksgiving. And so now we enter into it in the Holy Communion. Let our hearts be full of songs of thanksgiving to God, and in a life that is full of his praise, let us discover anew, my brethren, how good and joyful a thing it is to be thankful. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.